flyer miles, I mean, he'd be getting, you know, they're probably some good mileage. Hey, man, how many would have a round-trip ticket by now if you had your frequent flyer miles from your flesh's approval? Hey, amen. I think we all could be going around the world several times and probably to the moon and back. Amen. And none of us are strangers to that. And we praise God for it. Aren't you glad we have a merciful God? Amen. When that flesh comes back to visit us, we can just put him in the grave and ask God to work in our hearts and our lives and forgive us. And the flesh comes back again, we have to go through the same thing. Flesh comes back again, we have to do the same thing. If you have children, you probably go through that more than the other people. Amen. Because that's a constant thing when you have children. Any children in here? Or grandchildren, amen. Nieces and nephews or whatever the case may be, amen. All right, so Isaiah chapter 55, and our flesh is frugal. That's what we're talking about there. And let's go ahead and say the reference, and then we'll quote those two, 8 and 9, and then close it up with a reference. Here we go. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Father, we pray you would open our minds and our hearts to the message that we have for today. Lord, we thank you that the flesh is funeral is a lesson that we were able to grab a hold of, and Lord, to learn more about the flesh and its detriment to us, Lord. And we know that it wants to live, but we know it needs to die. And to help us, Lord, moment by moment, to appropriate the death in Christ, knowing that we're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which we now live in the flesh, we should live by the faith of the Son of God who died for us and who loved us, Lord, to work in our hearts and our minds today as we look into another chapter into our book. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. We are in lesson number 5. Lesson number 5. Going to talk about temptation today. Temptation today. Amen. All right. And hopefully we'll get a good discussion on this. We're just going to do the introduction today, though. So if you do have your Bibles there, turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. And give me some input here on temptation. We're going to discuss this a little bit more in depth. But if I say temptation to you, what comes to your mind when I say temptation? What comes to your mind? Cheesecake? Okay, Miss Dawson. Amen. So Miss Dawson says Bible verse. Amen. That comes to mind. Amen. I say temptation. What comes to your mind? Devil, okay. What else? I say temptation. What comes to your mind? Ms. Duffy?
Usually anything I want.
Anything that I want is not good for me? Amen. Anybody else? Temptation. What comes to your mind? When you, what is that? Somebody asks you if you want some drugs. Amen. Anything else? What, you say temptation. What comes to your mind? What is that? Somebody say something? Something to take you away from God? Okay. Anything else? Well, I say temptation. What comes to your mind? Children, maybe? Beth? Deprivation? Amen. That's true. Temptation. Amen. We're going to talk in depth about this word, temptation, and this principle. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. If you've got your books there, what page is that on? 39, okay? And notice the title of this particular lesson 5, The Greatest Promise About Temptation. The Greatest Promise About Temptation. I heard cheesecake. I heard deprivation. I heard, you know, marijuana. I heard several other things, you know. But the greatest promise about temptation. And, you know, you think about one promise that's in the verse. And that's a good promise, too. And that's this, everybody's tempted the same way. So nobody in here is excluded from temptation. It's common to man, the Bible says. All of us are tempted. We're going to talk about that in a minute here. Let's read the verse here today, all right? 1 Corinthians 10:13, let's read that together. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. All right, so that's 1 Corinthians 10:13. In a nutshell, somebody tell me what that's saying. In a nutshell, what is that saying? Jerry? We're going to be tempted, but in God's strength, we can overcome it. Anybody else? What is that saying in a nutshell to you? Anybody else say anything else? Amen. Ms. Dawson? Amen. Amen. Something we're all going to face, but God will give us what we need when that test comes. Amen. Daniel? God's not going to give us something by way of temptation that we cannot overcome. Okay? Anybody else say anything different to you? Okay? And that's basically, in a nutshell, that's basically what it's dealing with there. Let me give you a couple word definitions here. You can write these down in your book there. There is no temptation. The word temptation there means a putting to proof. A putting to proof or a trying. And this putting to proof or this trying can be by experience of good or evil. Okay? So when you see that word temptation there, it means a putting to proof or a trying. And it can be by trying you by an experience of good or an experience of evil. Okay? So temptation. And then it's taking you, but such as is common to man. Common to man means it's equally to mankind. It's all of us. Then it says, but God is faithful. The word faithful there means to be trustworthy. So God is trustworthy. Okay, he's trustworthy. Notice what he's trustworthy in. Who will not suffer. The word suffer there means to permit or allow. It doesn't mean to go through a hardship. You think it's suffering. Suffering for Jesus. No, that's not that word. This word suffer means to permit or allow. Okay? So God is faithful or trustworthy who will not permit or allow you to be tempted. That word tempted there means to be tested, to be tried, or to be proved above that you're able. In other words, he's not going to give you a calculus test if you're just learning subtraction. Okay, how many of y'all like calculus? Let me know what calculus is. It's math. Amen. I mean, how many like algebra? Okay. So he's not going to give you algebra in kindergarten, basically is what that's saying. Okay, what would happen if you gave a kindergartner algebra? They wouldn't know what to do. Would they fail or would they pass? They would fail miserably. Amen. So he says, above that you're able, not suffer to be tempted above that you're able, not going to give you something that's out of your league. So in other words, whatever test that you get is going to be something that you could pass. Wow. Then why do we fail? That's coming later. Amen. All right. But will with the temptation. Notice this. That temptation is the same as the beginning. That putting to proof, that trying by experience of good or evil. Will with the temptation also make a way to escape. The word escape there means exit. What do we have at the signs, at the doors here? Why do we have those signs here? Why would we need to get out? Fire. Or, God forbid, shooter. Or God forbid, tornado. Class is over, amen. Snack time, amen. By the way, snack time is not that exit. Snack time is that exit, amen. So we have a way of escape, or we have an exit, and that's what that means, a way of exit, okay? That ye may be able to bear it. The word bear there means to undergo or to bear or to stay underneath something. Stay underneath something. Mr. Daniel is here. He had to undergo nurse training. He has passed the test. He has met the exit. Now he's got the next test, which is his exam. He got another exam. What is that exam for? To prove him or to test him or to try him to see what he knows in the nursing field. If he does not pass that test, they are not going to let him doctor on anybody. Except for his children, amen. All right, so 1 Corinthians 10:13, that is the meaning of several words there. There's no temptation or putting to proof or experience by good or evil that's going to take you, but such as is common to man is equally to everybody. But God is faithful or trustworthy, who will not suffer you, permit you, or allow you to be tempted or tested or tried or proved above that you're able, but with a temptation, also make a way to escape or exit that you and I can bear it or undergo it or get through it, whatever the case may be. All right? Brother Duffy's got a loud, booming voice. Brother Duffy, read that overview for me real quick.
Temptation comes to every Christian on a daily basis. Yet, as we face these temptations, we can claim practical promise from Scripture that assures the victory. This verse is 1 Corinthians 10:13.
Amen. Now, by the way, I'll continue to read that, brother. The greatest biblical promise for temptation. So in other words, there is something that you and I can do when temptation knocks at our door. We don't have to give in to the cheesecake. Now, we might give in to the cheesecake. We don't have to. We don't have to give in to the cherry pie. Now, we might give in to the cherry pie. But notice that first opening sentence in an overview. Temptation comes to every Christian on a daily basis. Okay? So who does temptation not come to? It comes to everybody. So all of you, when you get your temptation, you can rest assured that somebody else is being tempted like you. Amen. How many else have a weakness for cheesecake like Brother Neil? Mrs. Dawson's got a weakness for that. How many have a weakness for cherry pie like me? Amen. Brother Fred does. How many have a weakness for popsicles? Probably nobody in here has that. Braswell, you got a weakness for popsicles? Amen. I love popsicles. How many have a weakness for ice cream? Now, I don't have that weakness for ice cream. Brother Neil's got two hands up, amen. I don't have a weakness for ice cream. They can have ice cream in the house, and I won't touch it. But you put some sorbet in the house, buddy, it's over. It's over. Sorbet, I will eat it up. Ice cream, I won't touch it. So you can't tempt me with ice cream and say, have some ice cream, Pastor. No. Have some sorbet or a popsicle. Oh, you got me. Oh. I have a ritual every night before I go to bed. I've got to have a popsicle. And Tasha's shaking her head. She knows that. Tasha comes over, I offer her a popsicle as well. The kids don't get none, amen. They say, why can't we have none? No, they're mine. And normally I have a popsicle every night. I love popsicles. I do. But ice cream, have no effect on me. Yes, ma'am. Dairy Queen, I'll eat it, but it's not. I can take it or leave it. If the kids will eat it, I will eat it. But it's not like, oh, I'm dying for Dairy Queen. I'll take it or leave it. But now, sorbet, buddy, that's my weakness. It's my weakness. If I don't have a sorbet or popsicle, I'll break down and I'll eat an Otter Pop. Now, it's not the same, but it's, you know, it's an adequate substitute, amen. So temptation. Temptation comes to every Christian on a daily basis, and so the key is going to be when it comes on a daily basis, what are we going to do? Okay, because the Bible says it's going to come to us. Amen. One of the things that the Bible talks about that this lesson's goal is that it wants us to understand there are many types of temptations that you and I are going to face on a regular basis, but God is not going to give us a temptation that we cannot handle. Amen. He's going to always allow us to be able to claim this verse. Now, by the way, let me give you this here. Dealing with temptation, this is part of the introduction. Drinking, walking, eating, and communicating. These are four common occurrences in everyday life. How many of y'all drink every day? How many of y'all walk just about every day? Amen. How many of y'all eat every day? How many of y'all communicate every day? All of it. Those are things that we do. We don't even think about it. We don't. We participate in these activities so regularly that it's just something that we do. We become accustomed to these everyday things. But typically, we don't think of temptation being something that we face every day. We don't think about that. But guess what? Temptation is something that we do face every single day. Just like I'm walking, I'm eating, I'm drinking, talking, I'm going to be tempted every day. What are some temptations that you and I face every single day? Most of you have one early in the morning. Ms. Dawson? Whether I'm going to stay in the bed or get up. Whether you know it or not, that's a temptation. How many of you, when the alarm clock goes off, you get out of bed right away? Are you tempted to hit the snooze button? Most of us are tempted to hit the snooze button, amen? That snooze button goes off to say, it's time to get up. Now, you're going to be tempted to hit it and stay in bed or to get right up out of bed. Now, I failed miserably this morning. I hit it three times, and I should have been up and out of the bed. And it went off, and I said, well, I've got 10 more minutes. Then it went off again. I've got 10 more minutes. Then it went off again. I got, how much time did I just waste then?
20 minutes.
30 minutes. Mine goes off every 10 minutes. I wasted 30 minutes. Then I got up and I thought, oh man, I'm behind 30 minutes. Whose fault was that? Can I blame that on anybody? It's the clock's fault. It did its job. It said, bam, 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 bam. And I'm like, I don't want to get up. Amen. What are some other temptations that we face on a daily basis? Every day. Ms. Dawson? Overeating, okay, for some, amen. What do you say? Some don't want to go to work. They have to make themselves go to work, amen. When it comes to work, what are we tempted for when it comes to work? Or tempted by when it comes to work? Anything else? Maybe not doing a good job for our bosses. Maybe clocking in early or clocking out late. Or no, clocking in early and clocking out early. Maybe extending our lunch break when we know we shouldn't. Is that a temptation? Yes, it is. Sit around and gossip, amen. At work. Hey, I used to bus tables, and occasionally some money would get attached to my little bin, and I'd get back into the kitchen and money's attached to my bin. What am I tempted to do then? Keep it. I've been to five tables. I don't know which table it came from. If I turned into the boss, what's he going to do? He's going to probably keep it. Amen. Or turn it into the company. Amen. And so I thought, well, I'm not. Might as well keep it myself. What was I? I tempted to keep something that really didn't belong to me. Amen. Did I spend it? Yeah, I spent it. Didn't have a heartbeat about it. I spent that money. What else are we tempted by every day? Regular stuff. Daniel? Amen. Giving a piece of our mind to someone that's ungrateful or someone that, maybe is in... And so many words, they're asking for a piece of our mind. Yes. Not drive correctly or politely on the road. We're rude on the road. We're tempted to be that way. By the way, what else are we tempted to do on the road? Speed. Sometimes you're tempted to give somebody the evil eye when they cut you off and you drive by. You give them the scare. Or you go in front of them and slow down. Or lay on your horn. And then you see him looking in the rearview mirror. You go like this. That's rolling. You can get shot over that kind of stuff. I tell my kids all the time. They say, we're going to get this person a stare. No, we're not going to get that person a stare. I'm the driver of this car. Amen. You ever get behind some of those kids and they lick their tongue out at you? But, what do you want to do? You're tempted to do. Well, you can't smack them because they're in the other car. Amen. You might be tempted to smack them. You're tempted to lick your tongue back out at them. I know I am. I'm like, I got one too, see? Ms. Dawson? Tempted not to correct for the 10th time. Amen. By the way, it's tax season. What are we tempted to do? cheat on our taxes, not list everything, or fudge the stuff that we do put down. Well, yeah, I drove 15,000 miles, knowing you only drove 15 miles, amen? Tempted to fudge things on there. Here's some regular temptations that I put down that we normally face every day. To sleep in, to speed, can you read my own handwriting? Skip working, to extend our lunch break, to clock in or clock out early, to cheat on our taxes, to lie to our parents, to, can't read that either, amen. But those are just some temptations. We all face temptations every day, but let me ask you this question. What are some misconceptions about temptations? Misconceptions, yes. Not all temptation is bad. Okay, that's a misconception. Not all temptation is bad. Andrea? That if I succumb to temptation, it might not matter. Amen. Daniel? If it doesn't hurt anybody, it can't be bad. Amen. Those are all misconceptions. What are some other misconceptions about temptations? Consequences only affect you. Okay. What else? Misconceptions about temptation. By the way, was Jesus tempted? Any other misconceptions about temptations? What do we conceive about temptation? Daniel? God is okay with us being tempted because we're saved. Okay. Brother Neil? Temptation itself is not sin. What do we always lump temptation with? Oftentimes that it's sin. It's sin. And if we lump it up that it is sin, who do we lump it up with normally? The devil. Number one, it's sin. And number one, it's of the devil. Or number two, it's of the devil. Normally when it comes to that. These are all misconceptions. I'll give you a couple that I wrote down here. And see if you can agree with some of these. Strong Christians are not tempted often. That's a misconception. By the way, strong Christians are normally tempted more so than weaker Christians. Why? The devil knows I got you already. Why do I got to bother you? But a strong Christian then is going to be tempted that much stronger. Think about Paul, all the things Paul went through. And then you think about Matthew or Bartholomew, some of the other disciples. We don't hear anything about their temptations. Peter got tempted a lot. Okay? So strong Christians are not tempted. That's a misconception. Temptation is sin. That's a misconception. Is temptation in and of itself sin? If it were, that would mean that Jesus Christ was a sinner because he was tempted. Here's another one. Temptation is always bad. That's not true. Here's another one. Temptation is of the devil. That's one that we mentioned. Amen. Here's another misconception. I won't be tempted every day. We're tempted every day. We're tempted to, somebody said, to overeat, stay in bed, not go to work, go to work and do a bad job, call my boss and tell him I'm sick. He's not going to show up at my house and check me out or anything like that. He might tell you to go to the doctor. Amen. But these are all misconceptions. Any other misconceptions that we can think of? Because every day, today, tomorrow, next day, we're going to be tempted. Mark her down. Now, your temptation may be different from my temptation. Your husband's temptation may be different from your wife's. Your friends may be different from you. Your children's temptations may be different from someone else's children's temptations. But everybody is going to face some type of temptation every day for the rest of our lives. Face it. And it's common to man. Amen. The only way to not be tempted is to not live. Amen. By the way, are you even tempted in your dreams? Yes, you are tempted in your dreams. You'll dream something. You think, man, I wonder what would happen if I did that. What is that? It's a temptation. Now, you may not ever do anything with it, but it's a temptation. You know, I had a dream the other day that I was flying. And I was flying. What would happen if I jumped off the roof and said, I did it in my dream. I can do it now. Dun, 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 dun. I crash and burn. That's a bad temptation. Amen. So this verse that we're looking at is considered to be one of the greatest promises in the Bible regarding temptation. One of the greatest promises. Why? Because we're all going to be tempted by something. How many of you never are tempted to sleep in when your alarm clock goes off? You get right up. You jump right out of bed. Jerry, okay. Anybody else? You just jump right out of Andrea? Amen. There are some that is not a temptation for them whatsoever. They get right up. My dad, he gets right up out of the bed, 5 o'clock in the morning, boom, he's up. Man, 5 o'clock comes to me, I'm like, Lord, please, no. There must be a better way to do this sleep thing besides have to have an alarm. But there are certain people that aren't tempted by that. Some people are not tempted about going to bed early. They want to go to bed early. And some doesn't bother them at all. They can stay up all night long. Everybody's got a temptation, and so we've got to get to the bottom of how you and I are tempted. By the way, do you know how you're tempted? Because a good thing to know is how you are tempted. What makes you tick? What tempts you or tries you? Now, I used to be bad on the road. But when I got saved, God worked a work in my heart. I'm not as bad as I used to be on the road. There are certain people you get that road rage nowadays. Somebody cuts you off. People are going slow in front of you. Come on, where are you going? I used to be real bad at that. I'm not nearly as bad as I used to be. So that temptation is getting a little less now in my mature age. Amen. And also the age of road rage. Amen. That kind of helps a lot. Amen. So let's look at some things here, because you need to know what it is that's going to tempt you so that you can do something about that temptation. Amen. Let's go with Roman numeral 1 here. The meaning of temptation. The meaning of temptation. Amen. And by the way, part of what makes this verse such a transforming passage is understanding what the word temptation means. The word temptation, generally we think of temptation, we think of someone or something making us want to do something wrong. However, the word temptation is much broader than that, amen? As the connotation was talked about in the verse there itself, when I read, there hath no temptation, it can be something good or it can be something bad. And so, A, the word is translated, is the definition there. The word is translated different ways. Word is translated different ways. All right. The Greek word for temptation in 1 Corinthians 10:13 is perasmos. I'll spell it for you. P-E-I-R-A-S-M-O-S. That's the translation there. And they've listed several verses for you because we're going to look at these verses to kind of see what the meaning of this word temptation means. Let's go to this first one, John chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. John chapter 6 and verses 5 and 6. Because we want to get the understanding of the word temptation. By the way, it does mean several different things in Scripture. How will I know what the word means in Scripture when I see it? How can I know that? Anybody got an idea? You can ask the Holy Spirit. That is true. Context. The context. What is the passage actually saying? Okay, John chapter 6. Brother Neil, you had verses 5 and 6. Read those for me. Okay, now notice how that reads there. Now, the word here is the same as it was in 1 Corinthians, parasmos, the same basic word here, okay? But notice what he says here. The context is this. Jesus has the people here. They need some food. And Jesus is asking the question to the disciples, okay? He says unto Philip directly, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? He said, where are we going to get bread to buy some food for these folks so they can eat? Okay. And this he said to, what's that word? Prove him. That is the same word for there hath no temptation. The same word for temptation. Prove him. For he himself knew what he would do. Who knew what they would do? Jesus knew what he was going to do. But he said this to prove who? To prove Philip. He wanted Philip to know that, hey, look, I am God. I can do this. And so he's trying to prove Philip or test Philip in this area. Same word where it says there hath no temptation, no proving taking you such as is common to man. Okay. So now, is this a bad thing or is this a good thing? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. So this is not a negative or a bad connotation. Amen. Jesus knew how he was going to feed these people, but he wanted to prove Philip, and Jesus was strengthening Philip's faith by proving him. So the next time they come up to something like this and they say, hey, Philip, the people are hungry. What are we going to do? What would Philip probably say? Let's go to Jesus, because Jesus did this last time. What did that do to Philip's faith? Increased his faith. So he's proving himself to Philip. Why do you think Jesus did so many miracles? To prove himself to the people that they might believe that he is God. Why do you prove yourself to your children time and time again by what you do? So they will have faith in you. They'll trust you because your children know that you have provided for them. They know there's going to be bread on the table. They know there's going to be food on the table. They know there's going to be water in the refrigerator. They know there's going to be clothes on their back. They know there's going to be shelter over their head. You do that to prove to your children over and over again that, hey, look, I can do this. This is going to be fine. You'll be good as long as you stick with me. And so he's proving Philip to increase his faith. Show you another time that it's used. They give you 2 Corinthians 13:5 there. Everybody got that right? Down there where it says prove. The word prove there is the same word as parasmos or temptation there. He's proving Philip so that Philip's faith can be increased. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 13:5. Because again, the thing we're looking at, the word is translated in different ways. 2 Corinthians 13. And verse number 5. By the way, have you ever done that to your children before? Your children asked you a question and you already know what you're going to do, but you ask them that question and then you prove to them, amen. Oftentimes that'll happen. I do that with my children all the time. What are you doing? You're trying to increase their faith in decisions that you make. Okay. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5. By the way, G2, he's got his ankle a little messed up right now. And I told him, I said, look, son, I said, your dad has bad ankles. I said, so you got to tie these high top shoes up really tight to strengthen your ankle. I said, if you tie them up, chances are you won't hurt your ankle as bad. And so after he hurt his ankle, what did I ask him? Did you have your shoes tied up? What was his answer? No. What was I doing? Trying to prove to him that I know what I'm talking about. What did he say? Next time I need to tie him up a little tighter. Duh. That's what I said. What am I doing? I'm trying to increase his faith in what I'm telling him to do, that he might do it so he could spare getting hurt. Amen. And so look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13 there. And verse number... I'm in 1 Corinthians. All right, 2 Corinthians. Who's that? 2 Corinthians 13:5. Ms. Dawson, read that. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 13:5, amen. There is a word in there, and actually there's two words in there, that's translated parasmos, which is the same as temptation. Who can tell me what the first one is? Brother Duffy? Examine. So examine there is the same word that's translated temptation. Examine yourselves whether ye be in whether ye be in the faith. So parasmos is translated examine. Okay, so I could read 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no proving taking you, but such as is coming to man. Or there hath no examination taking you, such as is coming to man. Just as easy, like I say, there is no temptation. Tempt yourselves, whether you be in the faith. It's the same Greek word. They're just using it differently. Okay? So examine is the same word as temptation there, which means to test or to prove. And so when you look at this word here, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. So what is this verse actually saying? You can check yourself out by the things that you can either get through or the things that you fall prey to. Amen. That's exactly what it's saying. You can see how strong your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ and belief in what God is saying by how you handle temptation and testings when they come. So Paul says here, examine yourselves, test yourself, or prove yourselves whether you be in the faith. He says, you'll know whether you're saved or not. He says, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves. Notice he says over and over again, yourselves, examine yourselves. Prove your own selves. No, you're not your own selves. What is the test all about? What you possess. What you possess. Do you possess a viable faith in Christ? Because if you do, even if you fall for temptation, what should happen? I get back up. I confess it and I get right with God and I get back up. If I don't have a viable faith in Christ, what am I prone to do? Stay down, not confess it, and say, well, that's just the way it is. That's life. Well, but someone that's really saved will say, man, Lord, I blew that one. You told me there is no temptation taking me such an, and you told me you'd make a way to escape, and I blew that. Lord, forgive me. Help me on the next temptation. That's what a viable faith in Christ should do. Amen. One that doesn't have a viable faith in Christ, they're not going to do that. Amen. And so you've got these two definitions already, John chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, with the word prove there. And then over here in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, examine yourselves. Amen. By the way, again, God is never going to give you a test that is above what you can overcome. Never going to give you a test that you, why would God not do that? Why is he never going to give you a test that you can't overcome? You give up. You get defeated. You get discouraged. And if I have faith in Christ and in his word, and he's going to put me in situations that are right along with my belief, what happens when I get the victory? I become a warrior. I become more confident in God's ability to get me through the temptation that I had just been confronted with. It'll give me that much more confidence. What? Yes. God is trustworthy. Again, going back to G2, what was I trying to do with the conditions that I gave him? Get him to trust my word that I do know what I'm talking about. Why? I've experienced it before. And so I know already. And plus he's got my genes. So I know he's got weak ankles. Amen. All right. So let's go down to this next one. So everybody's got that one, right? Let me read something here that the book talks about here. While talking about 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, while this verse applies to when you're tempted to do something wrong, it also applies to the test that the Lord allows you to go through. He promises not to send you or I through a trial, temptation, or test that you will not be able to handle. And that is a comforting promise when it comes to 2 Corinthians 13:5 or 1 Corinthians 10:13, which leads us to B. So A is, the word is translated different ways. We've got John 6, 5 and 6, 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Then the word is amoral. Amoral means it's not good, it's not bad. All right? We think of temptation, we think it's a bad thing, but the word temptation in 1 Corinthians 10, 13 does not necessarily refer to something evil all the time. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. You should have them there in front of you. Yeah. And we're not going to be able to finish this. Matthew chapter number 4, 1 and 3. And we're just going to read this and say a few things about it, and then we're going to stop. Matthew 4, notice, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be, what's the word there? Tempted of the devil. All right. Notice verse number 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Would you be too? Yes, you would. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. We're going to look at this a little bit more in detail next week. But when you look at this scripture here, Matthew 4, is the devil tempting Jesus to do something in and of itself wrong? No. Is there anything wrong with turning bread into food? No. Then what is the problem with this tempting or this testing here, Ms. Dawson? He's trying to get him to follow the devil's word. In and of itself, there's nothing wrong with turning bread into a rock into bread, especially if I'm hungry. What's wrong is who's telling me to do it, okay? The same thing, is there anything wrong with a stranger telling a child to get in a car? No, it's not. In itself, there's nothing wrong with telling a child to get in the car. There's nothing wrong with getting in the car. It's who's telling them to get in the car. So there's nothing wrong with the devil saying, command these stones to be bread. It's wrong with the one who's telling him to do it. Because he's telling him to do something that God would not have him to do. Okay? So we've got to be careful in that. It's not always bad when we look at something. The word temptation is amoral. It could be good. It can be bad. It all depends on the source of where it's coming from and the motive behind it. And so we'll talk about this a little bit more. But again, we've got to be careful. We always tell our kids, don't follow and do what strangers tell you to do. But they say, but they offered me candy or they did this. And in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong is who's telling them to do it because of the motive behind it. And so that's why we've always got to be careful. All right, we're going to give you a verse of memory. And you already know this one, but we want to reiterate it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Going to be our memory verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. That's our memory verse. And meditate on that this week and kind of get it in your mind and in your heart that, you know, the situation is going to determine whether or not this is really a bad temptation or a good temptation. And we're going to see later on that even Abraham was tempted. Abraham was tempted. Amen. Do you think God would tempt Abraham to do something bad? Bible says God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Amen. All right, so 1 Corinthians 10:13, and again, Roman number one, the meaning of temptation, then A, the word is translated different ways, and then B, the word is amoral. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is our memory verse for next week. Father, bless now as we look at temptation. We're all aware of it. Lord, we're all going to be affected by it. But God, help us to recognize if something is testing or proving our faith. Lord, if you're trying to increase our faith, or if the devil is trying to solicit us to do evil and to get us out of the will of God. And Lord, I pray that even if we do fall for the devil's solicitations, that we might confess it, forsake it, get back up and go on for the glory of God. Lord, when you test us, it'll prove our faith and we'll trust you a little bit more in the things that we allow in our lives. Lord, bless now. Refreshments next door. Help us to enjoy them. And Lord, prepare our hearts for the next hour. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You are dismissed.